KRS 102.1, 98.3. This is Fight Back with Bob Vitrakis, Harvey Wasserman, and Connie Goodell Newton.
Hey, hey, we are here with Solartopia Fight Back here at the high top Faulty Towers in downtown Columbus, Ohio, doing our broadcast. And we have we're going to talk a lot about the Gulf spill and a lot of other contemporary disasters that are occurring. But we're going to open our show with a first for the Solartopia Fight Back show, which is some live performance from a local artist, Korkia, will be performing All in My Soul live at the Lincoln Theater on May 29th, 7:30 p.m. Is that next Friday? That's this coming Friday night, is that correct?
It is next Saturday.
Next Saturday night at the Lincoln Theater.
May 29th.
Korkia is a Bexley resident, but you're a native of Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes, I've been here lived in Bexley for about a year now.
Uh-huh.
I think this May would be a solid year.
Now, you put this show on yourself, which is pretty. Tell us a bit about the show.
You mean the
performance
for the night?
Coming up, yeah.
Well, we're going to have some spoken word artists that are going to open up the show. Kim Braswell. A phenomenal spoken word artist.
Uh-huh.
If she can't make you laugh, then you don't have a funny bone anywhere in your body.
Okay.
And she's an outstanding poet.
She's gonna do her own stuff.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Not the Star Spangled Banner.
No. Then we have Barbara Fant. Barbara Fant, who is a she's just recently written a book. So we've got two outstanding spoken word artists that are going to be performing that are really big in the spoken word and poetry scene.
Great.
In Columbus.
And how do we get tickets for this show?
Ticketmaster. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. And of course, Kroger's, you have our Ticketmaster location, so you can pick up tickets at Kroger's. So you can go to Ticketmaster.com, or you can go to the Lincoln Theater's website and purchase tickets through there.
And it's 15 in advance and 18 at the door?
Yes.
All right. And do I get a senior citizen discount? Or?
Since I'm a new resident, basically, been there for about 12 months now, we could probably give you a dollar off.
All right. That'd be great. Great, great. So do you want to give us a little taste of what you do and how it goes? I know this isn't exactly the green room here, but
That's fine. I'll tell you what we're actually trying to do is we're on a campaign to keep the soul alive, soul music, the organic sound of music. So I'll sing a little.
Well, before you go on there, is that there's a big debate going on in hip hop and rap, gangster rap, which argues that the corporations, when they moved in and bought up all the independents, went out of their way to destroy soul music, R&B, all that 70s sound, and instead have been selling these caricatures to white suburban kids about gangster rap. They took an actual organic, anti-violence form of music, hip-hop, and have transformed it into a caricature, which also seems to have taken down soul in R&B.
Well, I think that collectively, not just with hip hop music, but R&B, pop, and all of that. I think that this is a conversation that I've been having with several people here lately. Is I think that we've gotten too far away from the basics as a society, not just in music, but in the way that our social fiber, matter of fact, I was speaking with a lady from the paper today, and my conversation with her is that it's abnormal to not drink. It is abnormal to not have two tattoos. It is abnormal to be polite. I've seen a situation where I'm polite to a person, and they are completely shocked at the fact that somebody could possibly hold a door.
It's almost perceived as a sign of weakness.
I could possibly be, but I just want to kind of speak to what you're saying about hip hop. I think that we've got as a society in all aspects of everything that we do. We've gotten too far away from the basics. And to me, soul music, that music that you would hear that you could play while your kids were in their bedroom and they wouldn't have, and they would like it and you like it, that music that made you feel good. So I think that we've just gotten too far away from the basics.
Well, give us a little bit.
Okay. This is song I like to sing, one that I'll be performing on Saturday night. We'll be doing some original and some covers, kind of introduce everybody to what I do. This is Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine.
All right.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And I know.
Tickets from Ticketmaster, and I guess you can go to the Lincoln Theater and buy them too.
Yeah, you can, and there'll be a 5-piece band. So, hey, the last concert we did up at Espresso Yourself Music Cafe in Powell was packed out. It was an actual fire hazard. So, come and check it out. It's going to be a good night.
Well, thank you so much for coming by. Can we get a free press table in the lobby there? What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. We'll do that.
I got to talk with the folks over at the Lincoln. They told me not to do anything unless I asked them to do it. So.
All right. Well, tell them you know Bob Petrakis.
All right. Right
back, Bob. And
that gets you in trouble.
Well, actually, don't. Tell them you know about Suzanne. That'll help.
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Thanks.
So much.
Appreciate
we greatly appreciate it. Again, May 29th, 7:30 p.m. at the... and then, you know, the Lincoln Theater itself is worth going to see.
It's beautiful.
If you have not been, you know, listeners, if you have not been to the Lincoln Theater, this is a great time to go for the first time.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and you can actually, you know, still feel the energy from, you know, 70, 75 years ago from when the place was.
Yeah, now you're going to join in, Cab Calloway and all these people that played over there.
I'm excited about it.
It's a tremendous thing. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for having me.
May 29th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lincoln Theater. We'll be seeing you there.
Thanks
so much. All right. Moving right along here. Bob, you got a live mic there?
Well, I'm reminding people they can go to Facebook.com. And
Facebook.com/Korkia
and check out some of this music, because I'll know you want to come on May 29th at 7:30 p.m.
Korkia, all in my soul.
All right,
very good. Thank you so much.
That's one guy.
And that was no mean feat to sit there in that chair and do that song. I gotta
tell you. Well,
wow, man, this guy's really good.
I, you know, singing is what I do. What I've done since I was. Singing is what I do is what I've done since I was a little bitty boy. So, you know, to sit back and sing a tune is not a bad thing. Good thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing I can do.
And it was sad because it was sad like there was no sunshine on Solartopia.
That's right.
She's gone, that would be Mother Earth with that spill
Mother
out
Earth
there
is,
in the Gulf.
Mother Earth is going fast here. Well, thank you again, Korkia. We'll see you the 29th.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Beyond Prosecution has admitted that they're salvaging allegedly 5,000 barrels of oil a day.
But I thought that was the extent of the leak.
Yeah, right.
We're getting 20%, 5,000 a day.
Yeah, which
what's that make the leak then, Hart?
100,000 barrels a day, you know, no end in sight. This is has been known as the apocalypse. Ladies and gentlemen, you know,
but they keep talking about miles underneath the surface. I mean, that keeps surfacing that it's huge,
it's
massive underwater.
Gargantuan, and
it's like the Titanic of oil slicks.
And it hasn't stopped, right? And so, my solution, of course, for the leak is to take all the executives of BP
and stuff them in, and then
right
get that mud to dense packet after you stuff them in there.
Right. And,
particularly the BP corporate lawyers.
That would be Larry Perley and Moe.
Moe Money.
Yeah, right. Who turned up in Congress to point the finger at each other. And
wasn't that Halliburton, one of the three there?
Halliburton.
Transocean, was it?
Transocean, that's it, Transocean.
That's right. The oil slick goes beyond one ocean. It's Transocean oil slick.
And the oil, of course, now is washing up into marshlands in Louisiana, about to hit the Florida Keys. It will, of course, go past the Florida Keys, through the Florida Keys, up the east coast of the United States. And there's no end in sight. And meanwhile, simultaneously, the geniuses in the Obama administration, and I would have to say that the Obama administration's handling of this situation compares unfavorably to the Bush administration's handling of the Katrina disaster, because they have done nothing. They've really been completely, I'd say, a non-player and intangible ability to shut this thing down. Obama, you know, has been posturing lately against these guys from the oil industry, but simultaneously with this catastrophic spill, Secretary Chu of the Energy Department has proposed fast-tracking $9 billion in loan guarantees for new nuclear plants. Now, let's take a look at this liability situation.
Well, at least we now have a solution to the offshore drilling.
Right.
Or spilling, offshore spilling.
Offshore, you know, drill baby spill. Now we have, in the midst of this, the geniuses in the Obama administration want to build new nuclear plants. As if, you know, this hasn't been bad enough. So here's a situation. Let's just look at the liability aspects. BP drills down a mile under the sea, under the surface of the ocean, and they drill a well for which they have no particular expertise in terms of fixing it once it screws up.
Well, they had Halliburton there, Harv.
Yeah, that's true. And Dick Cheney made a personal appearance.
And if you saw the 60 Minutes show, the guy on board, the guy who actually jumped 100 feet into the ocean while the platform was on fire, said that the seal, the O-ring seal, you may recall from the Challenger,
right,
that the O-ring, the seal was actually coming up for a couple weeks prior to the blowout, and Halliburton told him to keep pumping, that it wasn't a problem.
Right. It wasn't a problem. because because they have no liability.
Don't err on the side of caution or anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, in law school, they're like, well, you know, a lot of times with lawsuits, they're going to go for the people with the deep pockets. There are not pockets deep enough to cover the liability on this disaster. And, I mean, like you said last week, Harvey, there's, like, this is essentially a hole in the earth that, I mean, that you can't repair. And didn't you say something like
it's
that?
It's getting bigger.
I mean, that's
the
really
bigger.
Telling, yeah.
Right.
And it's, they're just, a company, even, like, with criminal prosecution or asking, you know, suing somebody for money, it's, the damage that's being done is non-compensable in a way. It's just
that's good. That's a good term, non-compensable.
Yeah.
It's apocalyptic is what it is. And so these morons, in the middle of this, now, let's examine the legal financial aspects here.
Well, BP said it might be $75 million to $100 million. Now, then you got these professors, these environmental professors.
You need pointy-headed in a way.
Yeah, and they're saying $3 billion already.
Billion?
$3 billion already.
How about $3 trillion? I mean, you know, give me a break. How do you what's your kidney worth? Well, I got another one. I mean,
they're talking about endangering one-third of the entire fisheries, the shrimp fishery in the United States, a third of it.
Well, endangering is kind of a euphemism, don't you think? I mean, it's already dead.
Basically, fish are going extinct. The oceans are drying up of life, and then this is going to really just, you know, seal the deal. I don't know. I mean, I have kind of like a spiritual feeling about fish. They're kind of our ancestors, if you believe in evolution. And once we kill them off, like once fish are extinct, I think we're, you know, we're in trouble. So I don't know.
Well, we're in trouble already. And you know, the bottom line is that here we are talking, and there's no end in sight to this. There's just no end in sight. And so these morons at the Department of Energy come forward and say, well, we want $9 billion to build new nuclear plants. We want to advance. They're fast tracking. This is the Obama administration doing something the Bush administration could not pull off. They want to fast track.
Sort of like Clinton with NAFTA.
Yes. Fast track new loan guarantees for new nuclear plants. In the middle of the worst ecological disaster in human history, these guys want to build new...
Well, you want to be able to top it with even a worse ecological apocalypse. And yeah, so our minds will get off the golf when we have a meltdown.
Now, I got to tell you that, you know, the liability cap, well, you know, the liability cap under which BP drilled this hole in the ocean was $75 million. And so these guys went down there knowing that they would not be held accountable for anything more than $75 million worth of damage, which they did in the first minute. And, now you have Republicans here who have stopped Congress from upping the liability. And so the bottom line is BP is going to walk away from this no matter what happens. Now, how much destruction they do, they're going to walk away with a $75 million bill, which will not cover the legal bills. Will not cover the billable hours. They're going to come out of this thing. Furthermore, all the money that they spend on this spill is going to be tax deducted. And so what they're going to do is, you know, a few months out, they'll change their name. You know, it'll become Exxon or Mobil. Point two. And these guys are all going to... The guys who testified in Congress that day, who were yelling at each other, are going to make more money for that day than most people make in a year. And nothing's going to happen to these guys. And meanwhile, the Obama administration, first of all, sits by as if because this was a private company, the destruction they do is privatized. And so they sat back and allowed BP to exclude journalists and independent observers from the disaster site. You know, I mean, where is it that BP...
Well, that's not being fair. BP allowed one embedded journalism that works for BP. I think as long as the journalist is embedded with BP...
They'll be all right.
Or in bed with BP.
Yeah, that's true. But either one, it's fine. But so the bottom line is that these guys drilled. They would not have drilled, and this is important to understand, they would not have drilled if they... and had more than $75 million liability. But they went in there...
Like the actual cost of the destruction?
Yeah, right. So now what we have is this administration saying, okay, well, in the middle of this, we want to fast-track loan guarantees for new nuclear plants. What is the liability of the builders in the nuclear plants? The maximum liability under federal law right now for someone who owns a nuclear power plant, any nuclear power plant, that might explode or melt down or emit huge quantities of radiation, is $11 billion, which is also the amount of damage that would happen in the first hour. If you had a Chernobyl-sized accident in the United States, $11 billion doesn't even begin to scratch the surface.
But to be fair, shouldn't it be $75 million parity
for
all the destroyers of Earth?
That's P-A-R-O-D-Y. I mean, you know, it's just pathetic. And so these guys now, there seems to be a reverse learning curve here. You know, the more danger, the more disaster that they wreck on the planet, the more they want to do. As you say, they just want to topple. It's like Hitler invading Russia in the middle of winter. Everybody knew Napoleon did it and got crushed, so Hitler decides to do it because he's going to show people he can pull it off. I mean, these guys are completely beside themselves with stupidity and arrogance. And so now, of course, they went to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and she says, well, okay, you can do the $9 billion as long as you do $9 billion for solar. You know, as if anybody's going to survive the next nuclear accident. And the fact of the matter is we have 104 reactors operating in this country. They are operating under the $11 billion liability cap. And anything happens with any of those reactors, wiping out a city or two, it's $11 billion. It's nothing. They'll write off their taxes. They'll change the name of the company, and they'll move ahead. And so this is really a disaster of a species that appears to be bound dead set on extincting itself. And, you know, it's amazing to me, and it's terribly tragic. And, of course, this is the Obama administration. You know, it's as if during Katrina, Bush had come out and advocated, tearing down the levees at some other city. I mean, it's just pathetic. So.
And that's Harvey Wasserman on the disaster.
This is Solartopia Fight Back on WCRS 102.1, 98.3 with Bob Fetrakis, Harvey Wasserman, and Connie Goodell Newton. All right. Next week, for all of you who'd like to take a little social action, Critical Mass will be meeting at the State House Friday at 5:30. Basically, Critical Mass takes place the last Friday of every month. It's a peaceful bike ride to get people together, raise bike awareness. And this month, Critical Mass is joining forces with Food Not Bombs. It's the 30th anniversary of Food Not Bombs this year. So to celebrate, Critical Mass will be riding to end up at the location of Battelle on King Avenue, where Critical Mass, Food Not Bombs, will protest the policies and practices of Battelle. Battelle does animal testing. They have done research in anthrax and nuclear research as well.
Well, just to give you a little more insight into Battelle, who officially, Harvey, refuses to comment on anything I write, Battelle is associated with Project Jefferson and Project Clear Vision. That is, Battelle controls all the military-grade anthrax in the United States and is the CIA and the military's favorite testing spot.
So do they decide which senator's office they're going to send the anthrax to? Or
well, two consultants who worked for them, one of them actually did the testing on benignly of sending anthrax through the mail. They also hired Ken Alabek. His real name is Ken Alabekoff, the number two guy in the illegal Soviet biochemical program. But there, because he was a Soviet, his 500 million spores per gram anthrax was no match to the American anthrax. A trillion spores per gram AIDS strain, silica impregnated, the greatest killing anthrax on planet Earth, and that's why I'm proud to be an American.
Well, I think that's they're marketing that now as a breakfast cereal, I think.
Well, yeah, you can sprinkle it on, or you can go with the tularemia.
So,
Battelle fever.
Connie, are you going to be on your bike as part of this action here? What's your plan?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It should be great weather next Friday, the last Friday of the month. So we're going to be meeting at 5:30 at the State House on High Street near High and Broad, and we'll be taking off around 6 o'clock, riding around town. It's an unplanned route that will basically end up at Battelle on King Avenue. It's west of Neal. And Food Not Bombs will be serving delicious vegan and vegetarian food, and we'll be raising awareness.
Where will the food be?
That'll be at
the end of the march.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now is Battelle, are you going to be using Battelle's kitchen to cook this stuff?
Hopefully it won't be contaminated. the food will be cooked at an undisclosed location.
Ooh, some special spices from West Jack. Yeah. I don't know if I got enough time, 2 minutes, but let me tell you my favorite Battelle story. I'm writing about Battelle's connection to anthrax. A British comedian program, the Michael Moore of Britain, gets a hold of me, and he decides I'm going to Battelle in a radioactive, you know, hazard suit. So they come to the United States. It's January. It's one of those 20 below days, freezing, and they're Brits. So they go out and get a medium for me, Harv. I mean, so I have to strip all my clothes.
A trans medium.
I have to strip down to my underwear to get in. And then I actually split the butt out of the radio hazard suit. So I'm walking up to Battelle in a radio hazard suit in my undies, and it's 20 below. And they call out the whacking hut guard sees us coming up the film, and they're there threatening to do great bodily harm. And I'm trying to hold my moon suit together because it's literally a moon suit. And they turn us around, so we go back and we get some bread and we walk up and claim we're there to feed the ducks. Although there are no ducks present in the frozen radioactive pond.
Well, he probably thought you, in fact, were a penguin. So
I was walking like a penguin then. But, you know, the Brits are also thin. You know, the bad teeth and the thinness thing that goes together.
Named Nigel.
Yes. So, yes, it's like, well, we've got you a suit. It's like, okay. Where's the Malcolm 2X suit or Malcolm 3X suit?
This sounds like Monty Python on acid here.
Well, it was. But it was on British TV. So the only person that covered the Free Press scoop on Battelle and anthrax?
The
BBC.
Well, who else? Okay. Well, I hope everybody will join you on Connie Goodell on the ride.
Who will be wearing a moon suit? I'm not sure she's stripping down, but she will have a moon suit out.
And you're going to guarantee that the food will not have any anthrax in it?
I don't know if we can guarantee that since we're serving food right next to Battelle, but I think we'll do our best. It definitely won't be the Food Not Bombs people using that biological weapon in our food. So people have asked me why protest Battelle. I think, you know, may have a decent reputation as an employer in Columbus, but basically, you know, it's questionable whether they might dump a lot of their, you know, byproducts into the river nearby or incinerate some of the animals during the, like the victims of the animal testing, that those chemicals could go into the air and the water in Columbus. Also, you know, a lot of us live near that area, and some of my friends' relatives have died of cancer in that area, two actually living in the same house. So it's definitely questionable, like, you know, that they have these military contracts, defense contracts, and they're also possibly polluting the local area with a lot of really terrible chemicals and biological weapons.
Possibly the Department of Energy noted they were one of the 12 dirty dozen labs in America, one of the 12 most radioactive contaminated sites in the United States.
Well, OSU always likes to be number one, so I hope they think about moving up there. Thank
Go
you
Bucks.
So much. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Is it time to wrap up there, Josh?
This has been Solartopia Fight Back on WCRS 102.1, 98.3 with Bob Fetrakis, Harvey Wasserman, and me, Connie Goodell Newton.